Rat Pack, where you at?
Yo, what's going on? It's The Rant. I'm Jeff, and it is Tuesday, July 22nd. All but two teams will be in training camp as of today, and obviously things are going to start to heat up from a news standpoint. But in the build-up to fantasy football draft season, which is about a month from now, I want to sprinkle in, you know, various strategy podcasts. We still have to do a tight end strategy podcast. I realize that, and we will get to it. Don't worry about that whatsoever. Yesterday, we did quarterbacks. I did running back strategies last week. Sprinkled in some news stuff as well. So we're going to keep continuing along this trajectory. And today, as you can see, five things that you can do on draft day to draft better. Not in the buildup, but actually when you're there at your fantasy football drafts. I'm going to break it all down for you today. Insights, wisdom, whatever you want to call it, from my many years of doing live fantasy football drafts, these are the things I focus on. These are the things that will help you be a better drafter on draft day at your various fantasy football drafts. Of course, we are also helping you do that exact same thing over at ftnfantasy.com. This week is tiers week at ftnfantasy.com. Quarterback and running back tiers are already up. Tomorrow, I will do wide receiver. Thursday, I will do tight end. So you get all the tiers, and those are free. I know some folks listen to this show and don't subscribe at ftnfantasy.com. Well, first and foremost, that is one way you could help out this show is by subscribing over at ftnfantasy.com. And it doesn't have to be the NFL Pro subscription. I know some people maybe don't like the price point, or maybe they don't want it for the whole year. If that applies to you and you just want fantasy draft information, we do have a draft kit available. It has everything you need for draft day, the cheat sheets, access to all the draft rankings, all the content, even the paywalled stuff, because some of our content is paywalled, the draft guide, all of that, and it's a much lower price point. Now, if you want the whole shebang, I recommend the NFL Pro. And I would also recommend using the promo code RATPACK for 10% off. So go check it out. But, you know, the tiers are up there. They're free this week. I mean, they're not super in-depth in terms of like stats. But they are my tiers, and they are up. All right, let's get into this. Five things that you can do on draft day to draft better. You know, it's a topic that I don't think is talked about enough. Plain and simple. Like, we talk about strategies and zero RB and Hero RB and YOLO RB, or whatever you want to call it. I call it robust, but I think it's funny that some people call it YOLO. Strategies for team defense and streaming and all this, but the plain and simple fact of the matter of being there on draft day, it isn't talked about enough. What do we need to do to draft better? So I came up with a list of five things. Are these the only five things? No, but they are five things that I think everybody should focus on. And the number one thing, maybe not necessarily in order, but the number one thing on my list, know the room, know your league. That's important. Now, I realize that maybe you're new to a league and you might not know anybody in the league, like, or you know one or two people out of the 11 other teams, but you're going to get to know them fairly quickly. You will get to know them within a few rounds, maybe not round one, two, three, but by the time you get to round six, you're going to be able to determine how these folks are drafting if you're paying attention. Know the room. Know their tendencies. I know, for example, in my first home league draft, which is the 16th of August, right? I know on that day, there are two drafters who are unflappable, right? I'm not going to be able to F with them. I know that flat out. Like, they're going to draft rock solid all day, right? There are at least two people, if not maybe upwards of four people, who by the time we get halfway through the draft, they're going to be hammered drunk. Like, I know that. It happens every year. There is one or two in this league who are punching above their weight class, you know? So, you know, the old phrase of if you can't spot the fish at the first half hour at the poker table, then you are the fish. Well, those guys are the fish, both of them. And I know this already. Like, I know their tendencies. I know what they're going to do. I know where they're going to screw up. I know all of that. And it, even so, I'm still tracking the board. Like, that's part of knowing the room. like so many people, and I cannot tell you how frequent this is, when they go to a fantasy draft, their focus is on their team. They pay almost zero attention to things and anything else that anybody else is doing. Now, I do notice sometimes that when people are like, oh, I see you're going to Hero RB. Like, oh, you're paying attention. Okay. Most of the people in the league are not. And most people in most fantasy leagues are not paying attention to what the rest of the room is doing. Know the room. It's really, really important stuff. And you can then weaponize that information, because if you know what your opponents are going to do, you can use it against them. If you know you have sharp folks in your league, you know that, you know, like I've said this on a couple podcasts ago, if you're heading into the turn and you know the dude on the turn is sharp, you can't leave that guy that you hope is going to get back to you. Like, you can't leave that player. You got to take that player now. You got to know these things. Know the room. Know your league. Next thing, and this is, you know, for number two on the list, this is really, really important to me. This is something that completely changed how I draft in fantasy. And I will literally say it's like a BC and AD type of thing. It was like before the draft board and after the draft board, you know, was essentially draft changing. I used to draft like many people with rankings. And honestly, like I think back to like 20 years ago, I was the binder guy. Like I was so into it, right? I'd show up with a friggin' binder with tabs in it. And I have a highlighter and a pen and then a pencil for some reason, like both. I don't know why. You have my three hole punch there. I have so much information, but mainly I drafted off of a set of rankings, and I don't do that anymore. Now, rankings are ultimately the foundation for any draft board, but the reason why I like the draft board is it gives me more information than a set of rankings does. Like in rankings, if I rank one dude at two and then the other dude I can't rank it to, I have to rank him at three, right? Or one, but let's say this is two and three. I have to rank them at two and three. What if they're equal? I can't tell you that in rankings. And two looks different than three to you, doesn't it? But on a draft board, I can put those players next to each other at the same level, which is exactly what I do on my ultimate draft board cheat sheet over at ftnfantasy.com. Because really, we're not drafting for rankings. We're drafting a build. We're building a roster. Just because a player is ranked higher than another player doesn't necessarily mean that that player fits your build. And this is like taking this game from checkers, which is drafting with rankings, to chess, which is drafting with a draft board, with strategies, building an actual roster. That's why we call it a build, right? Not just drafting rankings. And then beyond that, we now have reasons to draft players. I'll always talk about the AJ Dillon story, and I asked the FTN subscriber, why'd you draft him if you only want to cut him 3 weeks later? And he said, because he was ranked highest. Like, that's not a reason to draft a player. I am drafting this player because he's a high-ceiling guy. It's round 11, high-ceiling wide receiver. I realize he doesn't have a very high floor, but I'm not going to need him early in the season, so I'm swinging for the fences. Boom! There's my reason, right? I am drafting this running back in round 12 because I drafted the starter in this backfield in round 2, and I am handcuffing him. Boom, there's my reason, right? All of that, we have to have a reason to draft players. I am drafting these three wide receivers in a row from rounds 3 to 5 because I am going hero RB. All of that is important, and all of that applies to the draft board itself. Remember, there's no magical sheet that is going to lead you to a perfect roster. That does not exist. There's no magical sheet of rankings that will unlock the secrets of the universe. What we have are strategies, and then draft boards, like those are tools. We apply our knowledge and our strategies to the tools. And you can have the same tool, like same draft board as somebody sitting next to you, and you're better with it, you're going to outdraft them, even though you quote unquote have the same cheat sheet in front of you. It's very, very important. Using a board, not rankings. Number three. Oh, I can't tell you how many people I've seen fall prey to this one. If you're starting a strategy, don't abandon it until you complete the strategy. That is so important to stay disciplined. And I'll give you a prime example, like people who dabble with either hero or zero RB. And I do think both are very viable. I prefer Hero this year, but I wouldn't blame people if they wanted to apply Zero because it's a running back pendulum year. Like the pendulum has swung back to running backs. So that could potentially create some of an advantage going zero RB. But it's not zero RB if you draft a wide receiver in rounds one and two, and then you draft a running back in three. That's not zero RB. That's just shooting from the hip largely. I don't know what that strategy is, but it's not zero RB. If you're going zero RB, and how I determine if I go zero RB is if I went wide out, guess what? Zero RB, baby. I am not going back to running back until at least round six. And I cannot tell you how often this happens where somebody says, okay, well, I started to go zero RB, but then so-and-so was a value in round three. So what you did was you shifted from zero RB to essentially value-based drafting in the middle of the strategy. It's no longer a strategy. You just abandon the strategy and it won't work. And I can't tell you how often I see people do that. And then it just leads to these crappy builds because you tried to start something and you just didn't have the discipline to finish it. If you're going to do it, use the strategy. There's no such thing as like, well, this running back offered value. Because technically speaking, if you were doing zero RB, they did not offer value until you got to at least the sixth round. And I've said that before to people, like, so let's take a guy who has like a third round grade, like James Cook. And somebody says, well, you know, James Cook was there in the fourth round. That was value. And I'm like, no, it wasn't. He'd need to be there in the sixth. Well, you're crazy. He's never going to be there in the sixth. Okay, that's fine. But he didn't offer value in the fourth round if you were going zero RB. It's a tough one for a lot of people to grasp. But if you are going to use these strategies, you got to use them to completion or you will build a really fallible roster. Be careful with that one. Stay disciplined. If you're using strategies, don't abandon them. See them to completion. Now, in a lot of ways, that leads to number four. But number four is more expansive. So here's number four in two words. Stay sharp. Now, of course, that does mean, you know, paying attention to what your opponents are doing, paying attention to the strategies you're using, paying attention to your draft board, you know, not losing that focus. And this is really true for auction. Like, you have to be hyper-focused in auction. But even in redraft, if you start to fall asleep at the wheel, because a lot of home league drafts are long. You know, they're not an online draft that takes an hour. They could be 4, 5, 6 hours long. And you know, you get to a middle of a draft and you just stop paying attention. Maybe you're in a conversation and then guys come off the board or whatever, and you're not crossing them off, or you're just losing your focus. Stay sharp. But it leads me to something else about staying sharp. Alcohol. Yep. Grandpa's old cough syrup, huh? Well, I used to be one of those folks that at a fantasy draft, yeah, I'd knock back some beers. Probably too many beers, so that by the end of the draft, wasn't exactly sharp, was rather dull, actually. Well, one thing that I stopped doing a few years ago, and now this is just par for the course, is I don't drink at drafts. I bring some non-alcoholic beers. I found some really good ones. I like Athletics. Like, if you're an IPA person like me, the Athletics, their IPA selections are really good. And now they have the like the cans that you'd get at a sporting event, the 19.2 ounce cans. So it's pretty badass. So that's what I bring because I want to be as sharp mentally at the end of the draft as I am at the beginning of the draft. Because a lot of times, you know, people focus on the beginning of the draft, but really where teams fall apart is in the middle and end of drafts. They just screw up. They're just drafting guys that they're basically going to drop. And I've seen sometimes they even drop them like before the season starts. Well, I don't want to do that. I want to build a complete roster on draft day. And I actually want to take advantage of the mistakes that people make when they're drinking. You know, I know it's an excuse to get together and hang out and have fun, but I would say have fun, but don't lose focus because we still are there to do a job. Like, we're still there to beat our opponents on draft day. So I don't drink on draft day. Not my vibe. I know it surprises some people, but I believe me, by the way, as soon as the draft's over, I'll crack open a real beer, or when I get home, I'll make a nice old fashioned, but I don't need to drink at the draft. In fact, I don't want to because I want to stay sharp. Number five, focus on ceiling, not on floor. It's so fascinating to me, the backwardness of in-season and draft. Like, in-season, I'm very religious with rankings, right? My rankings indicate my start-sit recommendations. So if I have a guy ranked at 14, I want to start that guy ahead of the guy at 15, and so on. But that's based on 1 week of outcomes. When we're in draft season, we're not basing this on 1 week. We're basing it on 17 weeks of outcomes. And so I'm much less inclined to just be diligent by rankings. Like, granted, if I have a guy ranked 30 and another guy 50, I'm taking a guy at 30 every time. But 30 and 31, well, one guy may have a higher ceiling than the other. And let's say the guy at 31 has a higher ceiling than at 30. Well, that's the more appealing guy to me. You know, it is so interesting. You have that. And then, like, in fantasy drafts, oftentimes people draft higher floor guys, and then they want to do, like, which is a conservative play, and then they want to be hyper aggressive with their start sit calls. When again, that's another thing that's the opposite. Like, on draft day, I want to be aggressive, not aggressive to an extreme extent. Like, I don't want to completely just ignore everything and just go for ceiling, bro. But still, I want to be aggressive because a lot of people won't be aggressive on draft day. And that's where we can be aggressive because we have all of those weeks in front of us. Now, in a weekly decision, I don't want to be aggressive at all. I want to make sure I'm making the smart plays. If we were to play out a week, you know, 1,000 times, I want my start to be the right start more often than not, higher than 50%. Now, I'm going to realize it's not always going to be 100%, or it's not going to be 100%. It's not always not going to be 100%. No. But I want to be on the right side of probability. People don't often think that way in season, but then they go and think very conservatively in fantasy drafts. Weaponize that against your opponents and go for ceiling. Because ultimately, you do need ceiling to win your fantasy leagues. Even if it's only a 10-team league or whatever, you still need ceiling. You need firepower. And how we do that is we focus on ceiling over floor. Know the room. Use a board, not rankings. Don't abandon your strategies. Stay sharp and focus on ceiling over floor. Those are things that have helped me become a better drafter over the years in my home leagues and whatnot, and industry leagues as well. Hopefully it helps you as well. FTNFantasy.com is the website. Remember, promo code RATPACK for 10% off. It's tiers week. Go check the tiers out over at FTNFantasy.com. Have a couple other deals for you as well. FJFantasy.com is where I get my draft boards for my home league drafts, including the jumbo size. I can't wait to unleash that one on my home league. I highly recommend the product. It's sturdy. It's strong. It stands up by itself. It's not a poster board that you just tape to a wall. Fantastic product. Great stickers. Great quality. And I can get you 10% off with the promo code RATPACK. Also, play some best ball over on the Fast Draft app. Loving Fast Draft right now. I'm in the rabbit, a whole bunch of entries in the rabbit. I'm trying to take this thing down, man. But if you want to take it down as well, go get in. Download the Fast Draft app. And if you deposit up to $50 and use the promo code RATPACK, you get a 100% deposit match. So again, $50, you get 50 free. RATPACK is the promo code. All right, we'll continue on. We're going to keep rolling with these pods, so I'll catch you on the flip.